For the Pilgrims, it was freedom of worship. For the Founding Fathers, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. For the huddled masses, it was opportunity, equality, freedom. Today, it's more. Much more. Today, the American dream means more money, more house, more car, more power, more fame, more stuff. Instant, on demand, drive-through, microwavable, downloadable, 1,000 channels, 10,000 songs, happiness in the aisles of a megastore, fulfillment in 4 easy payments, purpose in a bank account, a barcode, a magnetic strip, more me, supersized, satisfied, and served. Self-centered, self-focused, that's the new American dream. So what is a trader? Traders have seen the puppet strings. They've glimpsed the chronic disappointment behind the glittering curtain of greed and consumerism. Traders sense that the road to success may not end as advertised. Traders see through the empty promises and greedy deception of the marketing machine. Traders know that as they lay dying, they won't be wishing for shinier toys, more square footage, a better title on their business card. Traders don't need more stuff to make them happy. They are owned by material things. Traders understand that there is a bigger world. They've seen the face of need, of want, of disease, of hopelessness. They can't turn away anymore. They can't hide in front of the TV. They can't work, play, or party harder to block it out. They can't ignore it anymore. Traders want to make a difference. Traders have to make a difference. Traders have resources, time, money, ideas, skills, creativity, passion. Traders realize that God gave them these resources for a reason, to pick up their cross and follow Christ, to be the Good Samaritan, to obey the Great Commission. A trader looks for a place to help. Maybe next door, maybe across town, maybe on the other side of the world. A trader trades in one night a week to help the homeless. A trader trades in summer vacation to train graphic designers in Central Asia. A trader trades in the pursuit of the American dream for a world that desperately needs Christ. Are you a trader?
My wife and I enjoy watching a television show called Secret Millionaire. In this program, they find people that have made a lot of money, been very successful, and then they challenge these millionaires, people who have been very successful, to leave for a week, leave behind their ease and their big house and their nice car, and live on about $75 for a week, and they put them in a very poor area of a city somewhere, usually the city they live in, but it could be almost anywhere. And it's an interesting thing to watch these people as they, for the very first time, many of them, put themselves in the midst of extreme poverty, and they come as one who is volunteering to help people who are making a difference in their city. And so when they find these people, they actually volunteer and work with them for a while, usually about 3 different organizations. And then at the end of the program, they are able to write a very large check to help these people who are making a difference. And without fail, I think my wife and I both tear up and are touched deeply. And I've watched it several times, and the last time I watched it just a few days ago, I felt a stirring, a restlessness in my own soul. I want to do something. I want to make a difference. I hope that perhaps there is a stirring in your heart as well to be a person in this world who can make a difference. Well, God says that all of us who know and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are to be difference makers. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, we read the following words. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now, in this wonderful passage of Scripture, we are told that all of us who know and love Jesus Christ have been given a ministry. What is that ministry? We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Now, the word reconcile means that two parties who are alienated from one another are brought back into a friendly relationship. They are reconciled. And the passage of Scripture that we've just read says that through the work of Jesus Christ, God has reconciled us to Himself. We were alienated from God. We were separated from God. And through the work of Jesus Christ, we have been brought back into a friendly relationship with God. That which kept us apart has been taken care of. He died for our sins, and now we have been brought back to the Lord. We've been reconciled to Him. Now, our ministry then is to go to others who are still alienated from God, and through the preaching of the gospel and sharing Christ, they are brought back into a reconciled relationship with God as well. That's our ministry. And all of us have been given this ministry. Now, who is our ministry to? Well, our ministry is to the entire world, because notice what this scripture says. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. In other words, God used the death of Jesus Christ to put the whole world in a reconcilable position. This means that there is no one that was left out of the scope of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. He died for everyone, and everyone has been reconciled to Him potentially because of the death of Jesus Christ. And therefore, our ministry of reconciliation is to everyone we meet. Everyone we meet is a potential candidate for salvation. Everyone we meet is a potential candidate to be reconciled to God. And then God says, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now, ambassador, what is that? An ambassador is an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. And I got online and looked up U.S. ambassadors, and I come to find that, and I was thinking this was true, but it is true. We have an ambassador to just about every nation in the world. And so what happens is that in all of these different countries, we establish places called embassies. And our ambassador from our country to that foreign country lives in that embassy and is granted certain protection by that host nation and so on to exist there. How is it that we are ambassadors? We represent the kingdom of God in a foreign country. And that foreign country is planet Earth. For the Bible says that means that all of us are strangers and pilgrims on this earth, because our citizenship is in heaven. Now that, I submit to you, is who you are. That is who you are. You are a stranger and a pilgrim on planet Earth. You are an ambassador for the kingdom of heaven here on earth. That is who all of us are. And God has called us and enabled us then to be difference makers in this world. Now, on the graphic that you'll see now, MD for Jesus, I thought about this, like even making a little button, you know, and wear it. And somebody might say, I didn't know you were a doctor, MD for Jesus, but MD stands for making a difference. Making a difference. I want us today to consider the fact that God considers us MDs for Jesus. We are to make a difference in our world impacting my world for Christ. We need to have an awareness and a mindset that this is who we are. We are called to be difference makers. We are called to impact our world for Jesus Christ. I hope that today the Spirit of the Lord could stamp this truth on your soul, not just as something you'd put on your lapel, but something that would become a part of who you are, because this is who you are. But unfortunately, many believers do not see themselves in this light. Many times, Christians have the mindset of just simply surviving. Sometimes we feel like we're underneath everything. We think we're doing well just to make it through another day, to make it through another week. And a lot of us are just in survival mode. How can we even begin to imagine that we can make a difference in the world when we're just trying to survive? We often feel insignificant. That means that we have little or nothing to contribute. Me, a difference maker? Me impacting the world? Are you kidding? Many times this is our mindset. The reason for this is because we have a wrong perspective. You see, instead of seeing ourselves as pilgrims and strangers in this world, we live as if this is all there is. This life is all there is. And so we end up putting our roots deep in this world and in this world system. And unfortunately, we become chasers of the American dream. And we end up living self-centered, self-focused lives. This mindset has to change. And my prayer today is that we will leave here in a few moments with a whole new mindset about who we are and what we're to do in this world. That we will no longer see ourselves as insignificant and with nothing or little or nothing to contribute, but that we will leave here armed with the fact that we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. This mindset is what the video was about that we watched and listened to just a moment ago. We were challenged to become a trader, T-R-A-D-E-R. A trader trades in the pursuit of the American dream for a world that desperately needs Christ. I'm going to challenge you to think about this. How much of your time and energy and resources and so on is about you and your life here on this earth as opposed to being an ambassador for Jesus Christ? And I pray that by the time we leave that something is going to change on the inside of us. Something's going to click as the truth of God sinks down deep inside of us, and we leave here with a new mindset, a new attitude. So for the time we have remaining, I just want to talk with you about the mindset of a difference maker. How does a difference maker think when we think of it in a spiritual context as believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? What I'm going to share with you today is very simple. You won't be able to miss it. It's very easy to understand what I'm about to say. The key is that you believe it and let it sink into your life and into your soul and into your mind. We're going to take all of these things from the text that we chose for this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Number one, you want to be a difference maker, it begins here. Number one, I know who I am. I know who I am. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, the scripture says. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The NIV says it this way: the old is gone, the new has come. You need to know who you are. Now, everyone who has trusted in Jesus Christ then, Paul says here through the Holy Spirit that we are in Christ and that we are new creations. The old is gone, the new has come. Now, you may not see this when you look in the mirror after you got saved. You looked in the mirror and you look in the mirror every morning and you look the same. You know, you don't see any physical difference. But in actuality, everything changed about you when you got saved. At least, that's what this book says. It says that everything became new when you trusted in the Savior. This means that you have a new identity. Now, it's an identity that you must learn to live out. It's an identity that you must learn what it means. But in reality, you're never going to be the same person you were before you accepted Jesus. Yeah, thank God that we're never going to be the same again. Never be the same again. All things have become new. Everything. Now it is our joy and our privilege, as well as our responsibility, to live out this new identity. One of the most important questions you will ever answer is when someone asks, "Who are you?" Who are you? Now, if you ask me that, I might be led to say, "Well, I am married to Sue. I'm a husband. And I have two children. So I'm a father." But that's not who I am. What about people who aren't married? What's their identity? What about people who have never had children? What's their identity? And who will I be if at some point Sue is no longer in my life, or my kids wouldn't be in my life anymore? They're gone. I don't wish for that. That could happen. Have I lost my identity? Being a husband and being a father, these are roles, R-O-L-E, roles that God has given me to live out. And it's an awesome thing to be a husband and to be a dad, to be a grandpa. It's a wonderful thing. But my identity is who I am before God apart from everyone else. Who I am is who I am before God apart from all other people, even my wife and my kids. I'm thankful for them, but my identity is not wrapped up in them. So who am I? Let me give you four or five very simple statements, and I'm going to challenge you to consider that these things are all true for all of us who know Christ. Number one, I am God's creation. I was created in the image of God. He's my creator, and I'm one of his creatures. Okay? I don't think anybody could raise their hand and say, "No, that's not me." No, that's you. You are a creature. You're a created being. God created you. Now, the second thing that we must understand that's part of who we are is I'm a fallen creature. I, because of sin, have fallen away from God, and I've been separated from God because of my sin. That's part of who I am. I am a sinner. It's part of my ID. But through Jesus Christ, I have been reconciled to God. I am God's child, and He is my Father. I'm a child of God. That's who I am. I am an object of His creative power. He created me. He gave me life. I had no spiritual life. He sent His Son to die for me, and He reconciled me to Himself. Now I'm His child, and He's my Father. And I am the object of His undying love. He accepts me, loves me, and forgives me. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now I submit to you, that's who I am. And I submit to you, that's who you are. Now, if you're here this morning and you have not yet trusted Christ, you're missing out on new life. You're not going to make it to heaven without Jesus. You need Christ. That's why He came, to die, is to reconcile us to God so that He is our Father and we have life. That is who you are. That is who I am. And I submit to you that nothing can change this. It's unshakable. My identity in God, in Christ, is unshakable. There is nothing that can happen anywhere, anytime, that will change who I am. Not a faltering economy. Not being rejected by other people. Not any and all kinds of suffering that can take place in this life. And Paul said it this way in Romans 8:37, "Yea, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now I submit to you, that is your identity if you're a Christian. And nothing can change that. That is who you are. What can happen, however, our identity is unshakable, but what can happen is I fall short of understanding it, or I can doubt it, or stop believing it to be so. But it really doesn't change the fact of who you are. Let me say this. When you figure out who you are before God, apart from everyone else, and apart from everything you do, you gain a deep connection with God that will allow you to let go of the world and let go of this world system and finally be free to be who you are and who God intended you to be, intends you to be. And then you will definitely become a difference maker when you understand who you are. That's where it all begins. And a lot of us don't see ourselves the way we're supposed to, who we really are in Christ. So who are you? When you learn to answer that, not just from rote memory, well, the pastor said, but when you believe it and you know and understand that these things are true, that's who you are. You are not what you do. Your identity is not wrapped up in what you do. Your identity is not wrapped up in your relationships. Your identity is not wrapped up in anything except who you are before God. And when you zone in on that and understand who you are in this relationship with God, He's your creator, He's your redeemer, He loves you, He accepts you, and you have this deep connection with God and you know who you are in Him, man, I'm telling you what, that's powerful. And things begin to change in your life when you really know who you are. The second thing that's part of a mindset of a difference maker is this: I know what I'm here to do. Not only do I know who I am, I know what I'm here to do. And what is that? Well, according to the text that we just read, it says this to be true about all of us who know Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. I submit to you, that is what we're here to do. This is our purpose. Now, my purpose in life, my reason for being on this planet, is to bring glory to God and influence people to Christ. Let me say that again. My purpose in life, I believe, as a Christian, my reason for being on the planet is to bring glory to God and influence other people to Christ. That's my purpose. Now, this leads us to the second most important question you'll ever answer. The first one, who are you? Second question, what is your purpose in life? What is your purpose in life? Why are you here? Well, I'm here, I need to go to school, I need to get an education, I need to get a job. Why? So I can pay bills and have the ability to buy a house and buy a car. Why? So I can live. Why? 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 What's the purpose in it all? I submit to you that our reason for being on the planet is to bring glory to God and to influence other people to Christ. That's it. Now, sometimes people don't ask you the question, what is your purpose in life? They'll ask you this: what do you do? That's a very common question, right? You meet somebody, well, what do you do? And they're asking you what you do for a career. And many people, especially us men, we think that's who we are, is what we do. And so what we end up saying is, well, I'm a pastor, or I'm a homemaker, or I work in the factory, or I do. We tell them what we do, but here, you know why you do what you do? You do that for the glory of God, and you do that to put meat on the table and so on, and that's very important, but it's not your purpose. In other words, all of us as Christians have the same purpose, but we carry it out in different ways. But we become difference makers when we look beyond our tasks and our assignments and we see the high and holy purpose we are here to fulfill. It'll change your life, I'm telling you. So, why do you go to work and do what you do? You do it for the glory of God. You do it in such a way that brings Him glory and honor. That's your purpose. We say, could I do it somewhere else? You could. See, what you do is varied. What we do is varied. How we live our lives and how we put food on the table and how we live our lives as far as our careers and our jobs and so on, all of that is different for all of us, but our purpose is the same. Are you listening? Our purpose is all the same. Everybody here should be able to say, my purpose in life is to bring glory to God and influence other people to Christ. If that's not your answer, that's why you're struggling so much with your life. You're trying to figure out what you're supposed to do, and if you understand who you are and why you're here and what God has said is your purpose, then what you do will always flow back into that purpose. And sometimes God calls people like myself to put food on the table by being full-time in ministry, and God may call you to do that. But let me tell you something. Whether you're a pastor or not, your purpose is the same as mine. There's no difference. The only question is, how does God want me to live out this purpose as far as what I do with my life in regards to work and ministry and so on? And that's going to be a different answer for all of you. And by the way, this is why, listen, work becomes worship. It will change your life when your work becomes worship. Paul said it this way, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it all for the glory of God. I go to work then. You go to work as a representative, as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. That's who you are. And your purpose there is to bring glory to Him in the way you act. Come on. The way you talk, what you choose to listen to, how you react and how you respond. You're there to bring glory to God more than anything else. That's your purpose. And now all of a sudden when I go to work, it's not drudgery. Now, could it be that I'm not doing what God told me to do with my life? That can happen. Yeah, absolutely. But grow where you're planted and what God has gifted you to do and what He's called you to do and all of this. When you realize the purpose behind it and you begin to live your life out that way, it transforms everything. There is no such thing as secular anymore because everything you do is for His glory. As a citizen of the kingdom, I am to live my life for His honor and glory and live to bring others to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because I am an ambassador for Christ. And everywhere I go, I need to think, I'm an ambassador. I'm an ambassador. I'm an MD for Jesus. I'm making a difference for Him. All right, so number one, you've got to know who you are. Number two, you've got to know why you're here, what your purpose is. Number three, I know I have what it takes to do it. This is crucial. I know I have what it takes to do what? Well, to live out my identity and fulfill my purpose. I have what it takes. Listen, you have what it takes. You are not, don't look at yourself as a nobody. Don't look at yourself as someone who has nothing to contribute. Because that's an insult to God. You have what it takes. You have what it takes. Now, how do we know this? Well, notice again what we read here in Corinthians. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And he, God, has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He's the one who gave us this task. And therefore, it is on his shoulders to make sure that you have what it takes to do it. Someone has rightly said, God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. He's the one who supplies what we need. Now, listen very carefully. The mindset of a difference maker, then, includes a sense of competency, a sense of adequacy. And what that leads to, instead of thinking that you're a nobody and you have little or nothing to contribute, it begins to change and you begin to see yourself as someone. You have something people need. Did you know that? You have something somebody else needs. Now, a lot of that is they just need Christ. But there's something you have that God has put into your life that they need, that you can, in a unique way, supply for them. And this is where all of our different gifts and talents and all of our different abilities come into play. But you have something to contribute. You have resources. You have time. You have spiritual gifts. You have natural talents. You have a mind. All of us have something to contribute, to be a difference maker. All of us do. And let me give you three simple ways this can be lived out. These are three things that all of us can do. All right, let me repeat again. Number one, you got to know who you are. When you understand your identity in Christ, it's transforming. Number two, you need to know why you're here. I know why I'm here. I know what my purpose is. It is to bring glory to God and influence other people to Christ. Thirdly, I know I have what it takes. Now, what is it that we can do then? All of us can do. Number one, all of us can pray for other people. All of us can do that. Let me ask you, church, listen. How often do you pray? And how much of your prayer time includes praying for other people? Now, I pray for myself a lot, because I need God a lot. But I must be careful not to just pray for myself. Who are you praying for? If you want to make a difference in people's lives, it begins here. Pray for them. Pray for them. There's nobody here that can say, well, I can't do that. Why? All of us can pray for others. And God will begin to nurture that in you as you begin to pray for your neighbors and pray for your coworkers and pray for those in your sphere of influence. We can all pray. Number two, you can love others. Oh, my goodness. When God puts people in our lives that are hard to love, what he wants us to learn to do is love them. That's what he wants us to learn. Dusty Springfield, put a little love in your heart. Remember that from the, was it, 60s or 70s? Some of you young people are going, who is that? But put a little love in your heart, and the world will be a better place for you and for me. Just wait and see. Great little song. And there's a lot of truth to it. I don't know if she knew Jesus or not. She didn't mention the Lord. But you know what? Love goes a long way. All of us can pray for others. All of us can learn to love others. Now, stop a minute. You know why we don't love people like we should? Because we're so stinking self-centered. We're thinking about ourselves too much. We're so consumed with ourselves. I'm sorry, but it's true. You need to start thinking about others more in a healthy way. Love them, pray for them. Now watch this, number three. You can meet their felt needs. That means their physical and emotional needs. You can meet their felt needs in order to meet their greatest need, which is their need for Christ. Let me say it again. You can meet their felt needs in order to meet their greatest need. Their need to be brought back into a friendly relationship with God, to be reconciled to God through Christ. Now, why do I add that? Because that's our purpose. Our purpose is to do that. Now, this is where we realize then that your unique set of skills and talents and abilities and all that, God has put those in you for a unique purpose. And when you begin to realize, well, I could help somebody financially, I have money to do that. Some of us may not have much, some might have a lot more. But I could bless people financially. Or I could give my time to help them. Or I could, there's so many things that we can do. We have abilities to help people. Am I saying it right? We have the ability to meet the felt needs of people. But we must always remember that the reason we do that, we're not just humanitarians. We're ambassadors. And my ultimate purpose is that through loving them and praying for them and helping meet their felt needs, it's that they might come to know Christ. And that is an active part of who I am and what God has called me to be. I know who I am. I know why I'm here on this planet. And I know that I have what it takes to do what God has called me to do. That mindset will help you to go out into your world and be a difference maker. So I challenge you this morning. If I had a button to give you, I seriously thought about doing this, but MD, stamp it right on there. I'm an MD for Jesus. Well, you don't have to wear a button. You could. But what if it's stamped on your heart? I'm making a difference for Jesus. That's who I am. I'm making a difference for Jesus. Therefore, I challenge you this morning, go and serve humanity. Go and make a difference. Go impact your world for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is such a privilege to share the Word of God with you by way of this CD. May I ask, what did the Lord say to you today? Because He's always talking to us through His Word. And I guess a more important question is, what will your response be? First of all, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? The central message of the Bible is that God sent His Son into our world to save us. And Jesus willingly paid the price for our salvation by dying on the cross for our sin. 1 John 5:11-13 is such a great passage to sort of put all this together. It says, "This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Now, the Bible is very clear here. He does not say he who has religion has life. It does not say he who does the best he can has life. But rather, it says he who has the Son, S-O-N, Jesus Christ, has life. The biblical definition of a Christian, then, is someone who has received the Lord Jesus Christ into their heart and life, and by that invitation of faith, they are born again. This is the definition of a believer, a follower of Christ. He goes on to say, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." What a wonderful promise. This assurance that we can know that we, present tense, right now, possess eternal life is such a great gift from our God. So, if you've not made that all-important decision to trust in Christ, I pray that you'll do it even now. Just pray and ask Him that He might come into your life, forgive your sin, and give you the assurance of eternal life. Next, allow me to encourage you to take the steps to grow in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many things that we can do to grow spiritually, but just let me share three or four. First of all, read your Bible. Take a time every day to open its pages and read. This is the very Word of God, His revelation to you, and you will grow spiritually when you read the message of Scripture and take it into your heart. Along with that, number two is to spend time in prayer. Prayer is talking to God, expressing your heart to Him, asking Him questions. You can ask Him anything. This wonderful privilege of conversing with God is now your privilege because Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Thirdly, be faithful to the services of the local church. Oh, it is so important to be in fellowship with other believers and to be under the sound of the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. And so as you do this on a regular basis, God will help you to grow. The Holy Spirit is now in you, and He will guide you in all things. Lastly, tell others about your faith. Don't keep it to yourself. But as God gives opportunity, let others know that Jesus is now your Savior, and you have chosen to walk with Him. Well, if there's anything I can do to help you in your spiritual journey, please let me know. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.